Well, 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 well. How about that for a debut game for Jermaine Jones? Perevs, in epic fashion, go up to BMO Field, riding the momentum of a huge week, and dismantle Toronto FC. Dismantle, absolutely, by a final count tonight of 3-0. A clean sheet for Bobby Shuttleworth. The Revs above the red line once again, now with 33 points, sitting in fourth place. And that's probably just going to be a holder for right now. We're going to talk in a little bit about maybe them advancing up the standings, but now New England 10-12-3 on the year. Toronto 9-9-6, both teams with 33 points. And again, welcome into the New England Revolution post-match report. I'm Tom Quinlan, joined again by the man himself, Justin Churchill. What's up, buddy?
Double duty today. Statement game for the Revs.
Huge. Impressive. Statement game? That's beyond a statement game. That's a message. Well, that's the same thing.
Applaud them for what they did. I mean, surprised many. I didn't think they were going to have a 3-0 win today. Not at all.
Well, and you only had no more than, 20 minutes of Jermaine Jones tonight? So you didn't need the services of Jermaine Jones. He got off to an early good start here tonight in Toronto. And I think for a lot of those people that are worried about the quick turnaround to Wednesday night when the Revs got to play Sporting Kansas City, I think you feel a little bit more comfortable than you did originally because, well, you know what? Jermaine Jones looked good for the time that he played, and he really didn't get, you know, too worn down. So if you need him Wednesday night, which it looks like they could start him, I mean, this is all pointing in favor of the Revs right now. They're sitting pretty going into Wednesday night hosting Kansas City at home.
Yeah, Kansas City last night, not the best result in the world. Losing a couple players for the game midweek, so no Failhaber. I think Dwyer's also out. Are two big losses right there in itself. Also, Caldwell for the Revs will be out, I believe, for the next game. So you very well may see the first start of Jermaine Jones at Gillette Stadium. Depends how fit he is, I guess.
Who would you, because obviously, you just mentioned it right there, yellow card allocation with Scott. If it's not Jermaine Jones that you start because you want to be tender with the guy because you don't want to overexert him, who would be that replacement for Scott and Jermaine right now?
It's tough to find a replacement. That replacement's Andy Dorman, and he's sitting on the sidelines trying
for another couple of weeks.
Trying to recoup, yeah. I think maybe you put you could throw two back there, maybe Kobayashi, and I don't really know what you do if you don't have Jones out there. So McCarthy could technically play holding midfield, but he hasn't played it in 2 years.
So. AJ Soares?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to that again.
That worked out well. So
617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Phone lines are open now. And again, it's a huge win, by the way. They dismantled Toronto tonight. It's the first road win for the Revs since May 17th when they beat Philadelphia 5-3. It's the largest win for New England since their 3-0 thumping of Colorado a couple of weeks ago. And Paul Mariner said it best. This is the best that this team has looked in a very, very long time.
Absolutely. From top to bottom, they played the game that they always want to play. Part of that is because Toronto let them play that game. The way that they set up their midfield was not the best with having Colin Warner right next to Michael Bradley. Essentially, there was a huge gap between the midfield and the defense of Toronto. And you saw with the first two goals, that's where the Revs scored them. In that huge gap, given that tons of space, no one was closing the shooters down. And Revs love to take long shots. Rowe and Wynn both love the long shot.
And we'll have highlights tonight on the show as well. And I just want to correct myself. The Revs are in third place. The graphic on Comcast Sportsnet, which I was originally looking at, said third. But referring to MLSsoccer.com, Revs sit in third place. They have the tiebreaker over Toronto, and that's because they have more wins than Toronto FC. So there you go. I apologize. I make mistakes. I'm human. Okay.
Third place. Hey.
Hey, so they've already jumped over fourth place and gotten into third. Thank you very much.
2 weeks ago, would you have been able to say that? I mean, this is. I'm astounded at how much has changed, and I know it, nothing is finalized right now. But I mean, come on, 2 weeks ago, you never would have thought this team would be in third.
No, absolutely, and you just look how the energy and the spark that Jermaine Jones gave you—it's incredible. On the bench, you could see maybe he had that voice tonight.
Yeah, he was doing great. Jermaine Jones, once he came off the field, came onto the field, he seemed like he fit right into the system. He's kind of a player that, you know, everyone's been saying with the leadership that that's the role he's going to play. And when you're in the midfield, he's not the captain, but he might be leading the charge in midfield. He looked good.
Paul's in Marlboro wants to talk about tonight's game. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Couldn't have asked for a better result, really.
No, I mean, it's a huge, like we said before, it's the first time that the Revs have had an away victory since May 17th. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better way to start the final 10 games of the season here. There's 30 points at hand. Now there's 27 points left at hand. I'm not saying the Revs could take all 27, but if you can get performances like you did tonight throughout the rest of the year, I mean, this is the type of momentum that you would like to carry into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to take anything away from the Revs, but Toronto looked pretty poor, especially in the first half.
Yeah, I think Toronto's a team in some turbulent trouble right now. Ryan Nielsen has to be thinking about his job, I think, because that team, you look at the caliber of players on that team, there is no reason they should be even questioning the fact that they're not making the playoffs right now, and everyone's all worried about it now, because it could potentially happen. They're on a downward slope. The last couple games haven't been very good, and you know, Michael Bradley not making the playoffs, that's going to be kind of disappointing for the casual MLS fan.
Huge disaster if they don't make the playoffs after the last 5 years, and Defoe's out for, I guess, another maybe five games, so they could be in some big trouble.
It's definitely tough with so many Eastern Conference teams coming up. Every point in every game is going to matter for them. If Defoe comes back and they can get a couple points out of this, maybe they still have a chance to get the fourth or fifth. I don't think they're going to go up that high, though. I think the Revs might actually finish ahead of them.
Paul, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. You know what? I don't think you're taking anything away from New England, though. And I agree with Paul that, I mean, Toronto was abysmal tonight, man. I mean, they really were, and I think you guys hit it on the head perfectly, that it would just be such a failure to miss the playoffs with all the hype and everything that surrounded this team coming into the year.
Yeah, it's a simple fact of they're spending money. That team has, you know, always struggled to make the playoffs, and everyone's like, this is the year, this is when it's going to happen, and a performance like that's not going to get you in the playoffs.
No, it's not. And now you have a lot of questions to ask moving forward, like, hey, you know, if you're Toronto, I mean, because you played New England one more time, too. That's the final game of the year back here in Foxborough. So that might be a game to determine whether or not the Reds get in or not. So, you know, you have a lot of questions to ask before the end of October here. And not a lot of time to do it if you're Ryan Nielsen. You're on the hot seat after tonight, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any other question. I think he has to go into that locker room right now and absolutely question the character and work ethic of the team after a performance like that. And it's top to bottom. It wasn't very good.
And Tim Bezbatchenko said it, and we talked to Curtis Larson earlier today on New England Soccer Weekly. You know, he said it before the match. This is a must-win game for the team tonight.
Yeah, and you saw the Revs were kind of in a similar situation recently, and it's similar in terms of how, you know, every point's going to start to matter. The Revs are starting to turn around the most important part of the season, right before the stretch run on the playoffs. So, you know, it's something along the lines of who's going to be positioned where and who wants to get the first round buys and so on and so forth.
Absolutely agree. We got Neil who's driving home right now. Neil, what's up?
Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Big win tonight for the Revs, so we're talking about it here on the radio right now. I mean, just another day at work, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better result out of tonight, especially the way we got to introduce Jones with up 3-0, no pressure on him. Just 20 minutes to get him out there with the guys and get him relaxed. He looked really good out there.
I completely agree. I mean, he was able to show you different sides of his game tonight. He sat back. He made some nice defensive plays, just very subtle with his game. And then he got out to the field. Like, he really chased down some balls. And it wasn't like he was going north to south tonight. I think you saw him going east to west, too, a little bit, too. So he expanded his game, and he did. And I thought, Justin, that, you know, that's what impressed me the most is how versatile and quick he was able to get up the field.
That's where you see the separation in his like ability as a soccer player itself. He is world class. You know, he's a little bit older in the range, but you can see he's got the sense. He's been playing for forever. He's been playing in the top leagues in the world.
Right.
One time he switched a ball over a couple minutes after he came in. It was completely out of blue, completely against where, you know, everyone expects the ball to play. And it was across the complete field, huge, huge cross. And it was perfectly put on, I believe it was Barnes' foot, a beautiful cross.
It's a good sign of things to come. Say it again.
Go ahead. I was just saying, I appreciated watching him on the field, and especially in the midfield, him dictating the pace of the game. I thought that it was interesting. You saw him off the ball. If you watched him close, he was really giving the backs in the midfield a lot of instructions of where to put the ball. And really, I thought he did a good job dictating, the pressure of the game and just trying to wind down a game. You know, not going for more goals, but just keep possession. I thought he did a good job, and it shows. I think it shows what we're going to see in the future from him.
Thanks, Neil.
He did exactly what Michael Bradley should have been doing for Toronto FC there,
and maybe for the U.S. in the World Cup.
Yeah, maybe some of the games. Bradley's still a great player. I think Jones is playing a general role in that midfield. And I saw him switching back with Farrell. He was kind of hanging towards the right side. Farrell made a couple runs forward. Jones covered him perfectly. You know, that's what you want from a defensive-based player like Jones.
And Neil made a great point in pointing out the instructions that Jones was giving, because, you know, if there's one thing I learned with Mike Burns yesterday when I talked to him on Herald Radio, was that this team was seriously lacking a leader. Jose is not the captain of this team anymore. I've been preaching it. Well, he is on the field. He will wear the armband on the field. But I believe the thinking right now in the locker room is the guy to go to is Jermaine. You learn from the guy that knows how to play, and he's played at the top leagues in the world. EPL, Bundesliga. You listen to Jose, and I'm not trying to bash on Jose completely here, but, you know, Gonsalves did this to himself a little bit. If you don't have Jermaine in here, you don't get this, like, big, dominant 3-0 win that you do here tonight.
You see it when with the press conference, going through it. Leadership was the word. I agree with you on that. The leadership was the word they used for him, and that, you know, very well may be what he provided. I'm not blaming anything on Jose. Jose. He was upset at the beginning of the year. You know, they're saying he started playing pretty bad beginning of the year. He's starting to play better now. The defense is getting better together. But maybe he shouldn't be the captain. That's not something that
I'm going to worry about for a while.
Yeah,
though.
No one needs to worry about that right now, because there's enough on the field. They need to ride their momentum, essentially.
617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Craig Ford is up next. We will talk to him about his thoughts on tonight's game. We have highlights still. We're going to go around the league. And again, your calls. Revs with a huge 3-0 win tonight. They're back in third place. Time to celebrate. We'll be back after this.
All we need right now is points, whether it's home or away. We want to make the playoffs. It's our last stretch. We know it's 10 games or go home. So for us, we were in this position last year. I think we're going to be in a good position again this year coming into the last couple games. And we're going to make that stand with that first away game.
WUFC, welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. Revs take a huge W tonight against Toronto FC by a final count of 3-0. Justin Churchill with me in studio, Goal.com. Justin, what's up?
Oh, enjoying the night in studio here with just you and me tonight.
Just hanging out, buddy. But you know what? We got a special guest on the line right now, joining us from MLSsoccer.com. None other then Mr. Craig Ford. Craig, how's your night going?
Going well, gentlemen. I don't know about a special guest. We'll just say a guest. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you two guys.
You're as special as it gets, Craig.
You're too kind, Tommy.
So I was. What was your thoughts on the game? It's a big 3-0 win for Jay after a nice week to open up.
Yeah, a lot to take away from this one. Pretty much everything on the positive side of it. A road win, huge road win. A great way to start that final stretch of 10 games, and this could put them in a good position where last year they were trying to climb up the ladder. If they can get themselves up there in a good position before those last couple of games, it'll be all right. So, tonight was a good night for New England Revolution and all their fans, and just sit back and enjoy this one for sure.
Craig, some interesting lineup decisions here tonight. You see that Teal got the start. What are your thoughts? What do you think? Why do you think Jay did that instead of Diego?
Great question. I think he's still trying to figure out, you know, who fits there at this point. I think obviously he's enamored by Wynn and Kobayashi, and rightfully so. Those guys have been fantastic in the middle. I think, you know, Rowe played himself back into the lineup after last week, and you know, I think Diego's lack of confidence, maybe when he's trying too hard to score, might take him out of the game a little bit mentally. So, you know, maybe Jay thought it was a good time to kind of sit him back a little bit, give him a little bit of something to think about while he's on the bench. And you know, I think, you know, as Heap said yesterday, a lot of these guys on the team are going to just get better with Jones around them, and hopefully Fagundes, you know, becomes one of those guys, because he could be a key piece for this team down the stretch for sure.
You say a word like confidence, and that brings to mind to me Kellen Rowe now. You look at his shot tonight. Normally that shot in the beginning of the year, that wasn't going in. I think I was pretty impressed by his performance. Obviously Lee's been very good all year. But what are your thoughts? What do you think? You know, you think this is the next step for Kellen again? You know, we can get him back on that stage where he's, you know, comfortable on the ball, has the shot again, and, you know, is an asset for the team again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it was a matter of time before he got rolling, and he was close. We've seen it over these past couple weeks. He's been trying those shots, and he's been just missing where, you know, as you said before, earlier in the year, maybe those were a little wider, a little higher. He was getting down with his shots a little more, and things were getting closer. So, you know, tonight was about as good of a shot as he could have put on that ball. That was a ridiculous shot from the distance he put on it, and the start of that play too, when he had beat Bradley off the ball, and then he stayed on his feet after stumbling a bit. That was a fantastic play by Rowe. Fantastic game all around by Kellen, for sure.
Craig Ford with us right now. And Craig, Lee Wynn just looked sensational tonight. I mean, man of the match, and continues this hot streak that he's been on all season long. With Jones presumably going to be in the starting lineup next week because Scott Caldwell's got too many yellow cards for being too naughty, how much higher do you think we're going to see Lee Wynn in the attack?
I don't think it really matters if he's higher or back a bit more. He seems to just always be in the right place at the right time. He's willing himself there. He has been absolutely fantastic. So obviously the team MVP on the season. When he scored that goal in the second minute, that game was over. It was already over. The team is now 7-1-1 when he scores a goal this season. So, you know, it just goes to show you what, you know, how much confidence he gives that whole team once he gets them on the board. And, you know, I think he can play, you know, pretty much anywhere. It depends on where Heaps wants to put Jones, and he may not put him at the holding mid next week. He did use AJ Source there earlier in the year. I don't know if it was as successful as he had hoped, but that's another option. I heard you guys talking earlier in the show. Not sure about who might play there if he doesn't decide to put Jones in and force him to play right away in a starting role, but you know, Soares is an option for sure, and I think Lee kind of just stays where he is. I don't think there's any need to move him around too much at this point. He's obviously proving he can play wherever they put him.
Could you see maybe Jay going with a flat 4-4-2 if you don't want to play with Jones in the middle? If you don't want to start Jones yet, to start out against Kansas City on Wednesday,
right,
with, you know, the great play that you got out of Lee Wynn and Daigo Kobayashi tonight, and even Teal Bunbury and Keller were good. Could you see maybe Jay converting into a 4-4-2 for a half against Kansas City, and then, you know, see what happens at halftime and try to figure out where you do with Jones for the last 45?
I can't see him personally doing it. I just can't see Jay pulling the trigger on it for some reason, but I would love to see it. I think a lot of us really would. And at times, sometimes this team already plays like that, despite the fact that maybe the traditional formation that they're using isn't, you know, is the 4-1-4-1. The way they're, you know, the wingers get up there sometimes, it can kind of display that tendency. It'd be great to see. Personally, I would love to see that go down, but I just can't see Jay pulling the trigger on that. He's pretty steadfast on the formation that he uses, and I don't see him swaying from it at all.
So basically, with and Craig, correct me. I personally think that Jay needs to play a 4-4-2 with a diamond midfield, maybe just to try with Jones in that, you know, the holding role, and Wynn at a focal point as a 10. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that would to me, that is Lee Wynn at his finest.
Yeah, like I said, I would love to see it. I would absolutely love to see it. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Justin. It's Jay's a little stubborn when it comes to his formation.
He's a little.
You could say that again.
But it would be fantastic to see, because they have these playmakers that they could put up there, and you know, to see somebody playing alongside Charlie instead of just trying to, you know, hammer that ball into him when it's a little tight sometimes. It could show a lot of different looks for sure. I'm with you on that one. I'd be all for it personally.
Craig Ford with us again. And Craig, Bobby Shuttleworth, I thought, had a pretty good night. We got a couple of saves from him on the evening. His confidence has been like a roller coaster this year, one that dips low and goes very high at times. It looks like he's on the upward trend again. Do you think now, with a positive performance like tonight, he's got what he needs to give him the confidence to play this way throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, I absolutely do. He's been on fire lately. Once that team got off that 9-game spin, three shutouts in the last 6 games, 3 goals in the last 6 games. So he's really stepping up his game. The defense is really coming together, and that's a defense that's, you know, been without Chris Tierney over the last, you know, month or so. So, you know, there's still a unit that's trying to figure out what they are, and they're still coming together in front of him, and that's ultimately where it begins. There were some lapses, of course, and some shots get through, and Bobby's seemingly ready for everything right now. So it's a great sign. You know, I wouldn't expect a clean sheet every week at this point, but the way he's rolling right now, he could keep this team in the right frame of mind, especially if they, you know, if they're not lucky enough to get that second-minute goal again.
It'd be nice, though, to start getting clean sheets every week. I want to get greedy around here, Craig. Last one for me. I know Justin's probably got one more, but last one for me. Jose Gonsalves is somebody, and I don't know if you heard me say this before, but I just feel like the captain and leadership role is going to slowly drift away from Jose Gonsalves the rest of the year, and all the attention in the locker room is going to be brought to Jermaine Jones. Do you think this is at all going to bring down Jose's mentality, not being the guy, I don't think, in the locker room anymore?
You know, I don't know if it'll affect him in that way. I don't know if it's something that, you know, he desperately needs to hold on to in order for him to play well, per se. It could be a hit to an ego, for sure, for any player, that's especially someone that's been wearing the armband for as long as he has. At this point, though, it would be tough to say anybody else is the biggest leader on this team than Jones, and he's only been here for 5 days at this point. What he's done when he's come in here is absolutely exceptional. These guys are already in, you know, for lack of a better term, and not to sound like they're over glorifying the guy, but they were bowing at his feet immediately as a leader, guy that they can look up to and immediately learn from and get better from, just from having him on the training pitch and, you know, trying to battle against a guy like that. You could see it in the game tonight, too, when Jones was in there for the time that he was in there. He went up to the referee at one point to argue a call. I believe it was against Newman. And, you know, the referee put his hand in Jones's chest, and Jones gave him a look like he was going to smack him. So he's a pretty intense guy, and I think he's almost perfect for what Jay is looking for as far as an intense leader goes. I don't think Jose brings that same intensity on the field as a leader. Maybe in the clubhouse he's a little more vocal about things, but I think Jones is the guy that takes this over for sure.
Looking ahead to Wednesday, I'm not sure if you watched Sporting Kansas City last night, but you know they're missing a couple players. Not the most impressive performance by them by any means, and you know they're obviously one of the upper echelon teams of the Eastern Conference. What would a win do for this team? Two huge wins over two early season favorites for the Eastern Conference. What would that do for this team going ahead to the remaining couple weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think that would be about as big of a push as you can get down the stretch here. Beating Kansas City, especially, you know, everyone looks up to them in the East, and you know, with without Dwyer, without File Harbor, it'll be a different look team. So, you know, you got to take advantage of that. And in all actuality, they actually bookend the month of September with this team. So Kansas City comes here on Wednesday, and at the end of September, they got to go out and play them again. So you got to get one against them. And obviously, you want to get that one at home. You want to take advantage of a team that's down two guys. You know, you're going to trade a Caldwell for Dwyer and File Harbor. You do that every single week, and you try and roll from there. I'm not sure. You know, I don't want to get overly Jonesy on everything, but obviously that's the big story, and that's what's kind of kicked off this big week. We'll see what they can get out of him, and maybe it gives him more of an opportunity to play a bigger role or get more time, whether he starts or not, and, you know, to see what he can do in front of a home crowd, especially, you know, pushing this team down the stretch, which is what they got him for right now.
I think you're on to something there. Let's get Jonesy. I like it, Craig. Craig Ford of MLSsoccer.com. Craig, thank you so much, man, for taking some time out on your vacation. And it was a great win for the team tonight. So look forward to see what happens Wednesday night. We'll see you at Gillette.
All right, quick turnaround time, guys. Get ready.
Yep, should be good. Craig Ford, MLSsoccer.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Craig_Ford, F-O-R-D-E. Not like the president or the car maker.
You always bring that up.
I do. I have to. People need to know that it's F-O-R-D-E.
Yeah, no, that is a key. You know, everyone assumes Ford is F-O-R-D, so I agree with you on that.
There you go. Okay. Okay. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. I want to see those phone lines light up right now. I know a lot of people have something to say about tonight. You have to have something to say about tonight, right? I mean, 7-1-1 now when this team has Lee Wynn score a goal. I just saw Jeff Lemieux post a stat. The Revs have 6 points and 5 goals in 2 games in Toronto this year. Could it get any better than that?
On the road in Toronto. And that's what I was kind of thinking earlier. Essentially, that team, good group of guys. The first win they got, a little surprising. This one is like I said earlier, statement.
Solidified. It's
I think it's a good statement, you know, and I think
absolutely.
That's what they can, you know, momentum into Wednesday. If they could pull off a win or get 3 points, doesn't have to be pretty against Sporting Kansas City. That is huge.
Here's the schedule real quick because I want to do the highlights too. But here's the schedule. Kansas City on Wednesday, Chicago on Sunday, Montreal a week from past Chicago, and then at Columbus. And then that's Kansas City, and that's your month of September right there. So the games in September, again, the 5 games. Kansas City at home Wednesday, Chicago at home Sunday. The following Saturday, you're hosting Montreal. And then the following Saturday after that, you're in Columbus, and then you're in Kansas City to close out the year. Listen, it's not a schedule where I'm looking at and saying, geez, you know, you're struggling to pick up points. If you got games like tonight show up, oh, come on. I'm expecting 3 points in every game this month.
I wouldn't say every game, but...
Okay, maybe not Kansas City, but...
I'd say home games, you get 7 points out of those next 3 games. 7 points. I think that's very possible. Chicago, they've had some good results. Montreal, not for me.
7 out of 9 points would be good.
Montreal, not for me. Sporting Kansas City, they're hungry, but they're missing a couple players.
You got to watch out for Sebastian Letou, though, with... That's Philadelphia. Jack McInerney.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I mean, they've pulled off any team. It's the time of year any team's capable. You know what I mean? And Montreal's hungry. Houston's hungry last night. We see these teams. Eastern Conference is anyone's game.
You want retribution on Montreal too, because they started this whole losing nonsense for the Revs back in May.
Oh yeah, and that was such a long period of time where this team was struggling, playing the same similar style. They kept not being able to get that early goal. That was the thing that gets them the victories. Playing the counter-attacking style. Not a team that generally has the most possession out there. But when they play, they have a good enough defense where they could play a game where you counter-attack, and it works to their favor. Look at tonight. That's exactly what happened. Craig was completely right when he said the second goal ended the game right there. That was it.
617-237-1234. Drew is in New Hampshire. She's got a question on Scott Caldwell. Drew, what's up?
Yeah, I was just calling to see who do you think is going to start Wednesday for Scotty since he got his yellow tonight.
I think it has to be Jones, unless you want to put out McCarthy. I didn't.
Unless you want to put out Soares.
Craig liked it. I don't know if Craig liked it or not, but I didn't like Soares at a holding role. The games that he played there were never, nothing good have happened from that. And maybe you have to force Jones and maybe make a subs at some point, but who knows? I mean, he hasn't played that much lately, but he did get a decent run out tonight, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. Drew, you got anything else, honey?
Nope, that was it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. 617-237-1234. Males, females, we don't care who you are. You're welcome on the show here. Opinions all welcomed. Soccer's a universal game, you know?
It's a beautiful game.
It's a beautiful game. We don't stretch you out like the NFL. All right, so highlight time. Okay, cool. Sounds great. The Revs tonight looked really good, and these calls obviously courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet New England, Brad Feldman, Paul Mariner, the boys in the gantry. Started out tonight where you had a New England team coming out quick. You thought, okay, let's see how the night plays out, right? You had a good start to the week. Jermaine Jones gets announced to the franchise. Well, you know, do you think that the Revs would come out flying, guns blazing? Sure. Well, that's where they started. Second minute, Lee Wynn off of a interception. Go. Oh, try that again. Take two. Lee Wynn, go.
Good win there by Rowe. Gets around Bradley. Play on from the referee. Davies went down long. Shot. Oh, 2-0.
Well, that was Kellen Rowe, so that was not supposed to happen. But hey, that's 2-0 Kellen Rowe off of a beautiful wonder strike.
Hello, Kellen Rowe!
Wow.
Wow!
Here's the Lee Wynn goal.
Straight up 4-4-2. I mean, that's a compliment to the Revolution.
We jump on this giveaway. Lee Wynn takes an early shot and buries it!
I'll say tonight, Feldman was feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
Feldman was into it tonight.
The wow is one of my favorite ones.
Wow!
Yeah. Give me that and just keep, wow!
Hello, Kellen Rowe!
Oh, man.
Couple opportunities, though, for Toronto. Bobby Shuttleworth said it. Had to make a couple of saves on the evening. Here's one right here.
This is Luke Moore. Cuts it back. Osorio has sight of goal. Blocked by Soares. It's still on for a shot. And then a big save there by Shuttleworth, who's screaming at Caldwell that he should have checked to the ball on the pass out of the back.
Bobby, 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 Bobby! Woo!
Three saves on the night for Bobby Shuttleworth. And I thought the communication was decent again with, you know, the Revs. And we talked about it just now with, you know, Craig. They were good tonight, and I think when Bobby lays into his defenders, it's just like I feel like he expects so much more of them. Like there's a lot of expectations with Bobby when communicating with his back line and his central defender and Scotty.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think you see him. You see a lot of the best goalkeepers out there. I know it's not nice to see someone screaming at players, but it's the goalkeeper's job to get the message across, and he sees the game at a different pace than everyone else does. He's not running the whole game. It's his job to set the vision. It's his job to push up the back line, push back the back line. You know, that's his role. And when players aren't listening to him, they get a little frustrated. Ask Tim Howard. You see that all the time, but that's probably a little more frustrating for him.
Yeah, and Tim Howard had a bad day today. But
keeping
him with the Revs. They go into halftime. 63% of the possession was with Toronto. Did you expect to see those types of numbers at the end of the first half, Justin?
After that early goal, yes. Sit back, wait for the counterattack. Best way for the Revs to win games is by doing that with their formation. If they want to change up their formation, which is what they need to do sometimes when they go down early, that's when you see them get a little more possession on the ball. But with their current, you know, their current situation, their current defensive setup, that's perfectly fine. That works for them.
New England opens up the second half. It takes a little while, but hey, we advance down the field. New England doing their job, battling, and then it's Teal Bunbury finds a little space. Hey.
Long touch now by Rowe into space for Davies, who's in on the keeper. Squares it, open goal for Bunbury, and makes it 3-0.
3-0 at that point. New England is all over. All over. Toronto FC, 58th minute goal by Teal Bunbury. Impressive. They were just so, it was clean, smooth, and you were really taking Toronto's defense out of all sorts.
Yeah, I, you know, they just, there's such a gap in their midfield to defense right now. Not right now, but just in that game, when you watch it, there was huge acres of space where they were able to, the Reds were able to just pass it inside, which is something they generally aren't allowed to do by most teams, and give Lee Wynn tons of room to make maneuvers, tons of room to move with the ball at his feet, which is where I think he does best. He can lay it off. Those options were, you know, maybe they were covering those options to lay it off for. So he said, hey, let me just rip one shot out, 20 yards out, and I'll get a goal real easy.
Poor clearance from Bobby Shuttleworth right here, and Gilberto had a good opportunity inside the final 18, but only hits a little bit of side netting.
Long touch there by Warner. Big space there between the backs and the midfielders. Gilberto takes a shot. Side netting, wrong side for Toronto.
And that was about it on the evening for Toronto. So the game finishes out. New England gets the win. Goals coming in the second minute from Lee Wynn. 21st minute from Kellen Rowe, assisted by Lee Wynn. So he's got a goal and a assist night to night. And same thing with Kellen Rowe. Assisted Teal Bunbury's goal along with Charlie Davies. Bunbury with the yellow. Kellen Rowe with the yellow. Scott Caldwell with the yellow. Scott Caldwell, too many yellows. Now he's out for the next match. And then Gilberto gets a yellow as well for Toronto. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. One call before we go to the break here, Justin. It is Brian, who's no longer there.
Oh, Brian. That's disappointing.
Call
back in, Brian.
I expect him to step it up, like of all people. This is Brian.
Oh.
It's Brian Speaks.
Oh, my.
But he ain't speaking right now.
Well, that's really disappointing. I'm going to have to yell at him.
How do you think I feel? He's my podcast co-host.
He goes on all the time, yeah.
Leave me hanging with a dial signal, Brian.
You're just screwing up the whole flow of the show, Brian.
Now you know why we don't bring you in here.
Oh.
617-237-1234. Oh, I just started a fire. It is a huge win for the Revs tonight. When we come on back, we will go through around the league, recap final thoughts on the evening, and we'll take your call. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Revs with a huge 3-0 win.
Hello, Kellen Rowe! Forever. And this is the moment that people have been waiting for around New England all week. U.S. international Jermaine Jones making his debut for the New England Revolution. Zago Kobayashi.
15-10. WUFC, welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. Revs, 3-0 winners tonight. Third place. Yeah, that's what it looks like tonight. Feels good to be a Revs fan, huh? I'm Tom Quinlan, Justin Churchill. What's up?
You know, I'm still dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded? That's a good word.
This team, you know, everyone, including me, writing them off in July, and now they still have a very good shot of making the playoffs.
So do you admit right now you're wrong?
Oh yeah, I mean, the way they were playing in June and July, you had to be like, you know, there was obviously still time, and we all had that thought. You know, it's a long season. It's the Eastern Conference, but they didn't look like anything was changing. It didn't look like anything was going their way. And a couple results their way in August, and they're right back on track.
So there you go. We got about 8 minutes left here. So 617-237-1234. Again, taking your calls. And right now, let's just go around the league, wrap up what happened the last couple of days here, because a lot of results now, the Revs watching the scoreboard and seeing where they could end up at the end of this weekend. Will they stay in third place? Could happen. Let's see. Let's start off on the Whirly Bird with a loss for Sporting Kansas City at home against Houston, 3-1. Disappointing for Peter Vermes' crew.
Very disappointing. Lost a couple players. Obviously, a midweek opponent here for the Revs. But essentially, that team is missing a lot of players, just like Toronto was with injuries. A couple key role players, if you will, that could have helped out. But Houston's always a team that fights. That rivalry is awesome to watch, I personally think. And that was a fun game to watch last night, even though, you know, it was kind of crappy conditions. But it was two Eastern Conference powerhouses just going at it, you know, really.
Will Bruin, the score. Will Bruin, David Horst, and Ricardo Clark, the scorers for Houston. Dom Dwyer, the lone scorer for Sporting Kansas City. And then the other game today, earlier, was Seattle. 1-0 winners over Colorado. It was Clint Dempsey who gets the goal for Seattle. And Seattle, I don't know. I think Seattle could win the Supporters Shield. I think it's between Seattle and anybody else in the Western Conference. I don't know anybody in the Eastern Conference that presents a good enough fight to hold up the Shield.
I'll agree with that. I think Seattle's definitely the team to beat in the league. You know, we've had this discussion earlier today where it's between whoever wants to win out of the West. They're going to kill each other in the playoffs, so anyone could come out of it.
Good for the East.
Yeah, but I really think Seattle and LA are the teams to my personal favorites for the MLS Cup. I think Dempsey is playing out of his world lately. Today he had this, another goal today. Martins was fantastic the past couple weeks.
Had a shot that rang off the crossbar. That was pretty nice.
We were watching that, yeah. And Dempsey had some fantastic touches creating in the final third. And his team, you know, if they get all cylinders rolling, just like every other team, you know,
so
unstoppable.
Games going on right now. The only 7:30 game, Montreal at the Saputo Stadia hosting Columbus. That's
Revs and TFC hoping for a Montreal victory. Then.
Yeah. Took the words right out of my mouth on that one. Thank you. 8:30 tonight, Chicago hosting Dallas. Any interest in seeing Chicago? Is there any interest that Chicago can pull a win tonight?
I think they're riding a good streak. They have a monkey on their back. They need to kind of get a couple results, get in good standing. And, you know, they're always a team that they have a real outside chance of making the playoffs, so they need a couple, a couple big wins coming through. But you know, you never know what can happen. Revs made it last year.
Fire got burned earlier this week with Jermaine Jones coming to New England.
It's going to be an interesting game seeing those when he takes.
Oh,
the
man,
field.
I can't wait
them.
To see what happens Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Next Sunday, Gillette Stadium, 7:00. Jermaine Jones makes his sees Chicago. And maybe that'll be Jermaine Jones' second consecutive start, depending on if he starts Wednesday night, which I think we're all thinking he is. It'd be crazy for him not to at this point. 10:30 tonight, Vancouver hosting Portland. Cascadia Cup, Vancouver, I think, is a lock for the five. That's my five seed lock. What's your thoughts on tonight's game between two Northwest rivals?
Huge game in so many different ways. Obviously, Cascadia Cup. But 5-6, that's the matchup here. Western Conference is so ridiculously tight. You look at the 8th place team in San Jose, 25 points. 5th place, Vancouver, 35 points. So there's a lot of gaps there. Every game matters for both. We like playoffs here in America. A lot of teams make it in MLS, but at least it's pretty fun at the end of the season.
Absolutely. Next up on the Whirly Bird of Games, we have tomorrow DC United hosting New York, 2:30. I mean, if you're a Revs fan, it nauseates you to watch DC United win, but are you pulling for United? Obviously, New York, if they win, they move up the standings. I guess if you are a Revs fan, you're looking for DC to pull off the win tomorrow night.
I'm thinking tie. I'm thinking tie.
I'd be okay with a tie.
I'd say, though, DC is probably unattainable for the Revs to get up to the top spot in the East. It's possible. It's about, 10 points right now between the two.
And if you get, 27 points at hand if you're New England, right?
Yeah. I mean, they have, let's see. DC, it's kind of surprising to see them at the top of the table this year, but they have a lot of good players, and Ben Olsen actually is a pretty good coach despite the last 3 years, what everyone says,
I don't know about that.
He needs to go. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a fantastic coach. He was a fantastic player. But he ran through a bit of unluckiness with his team, but they've built a good team. They have a good organization that's trying to build a stadium down there. So, hats off to them for this year.
I don't know. I think Eddie Johnson is a head case waiting to happen.
He is the best person to follow on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially if you're a writer. And then the final one is the battle for the Depot Center. LA Galaxy away, technically, against Chivas.
California
USA.
Classico, right?
California Classico.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I don't need to tell anyone out there what's going to happen in that game. No. LA's going to crush him. So.
Okay, there you go. That's all we need to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't care.
Going to crush him.
Crush him. Justin Churchill, follow him on Twitter at JustinTDC. Thank you very much tonight, sir.
No problem. Anytime.
Final thought on this team going into, in 20 seconds or less, final thought on the game and going into Wednesday night.
Big win against Sporting Kansas City would be, you know, that in itself. Unbelievably good for momentum going forward. Great team for the, you know, the playoffs if they pull that victory off at home.
All right, so for the final time, the Revs now 10-12-3 on the year with 33 points. They sit in third place. Toronto 9-9-6, 33 points as well. Toronto currently sits in fourth place right behind the New England Revolution. Revs have the tiebreaker based on amount of wins. We're back here Wednesday night, 9:45, after the Revs and Sporting Kansas City match.